God knows the plans He has for every one of you sitting here. Don't lose sight of that when sometimes it's not joy-filled, when sometimes things are not going your way. Just know that God's got a plan for you and me. It is a phenomenal time that we're going through. And you can bet your life that Satan is getting ready to hit at us. Amen? And this morning, what I wanted to try to do was to arm and equip us with some ways that we can help each other do what this slide says right here. Navigate while we're on the journey. Navigate the storms that are coming our way. I thought it was very appropriate that we had a hurricane, because a couple of weeks ago, while that hurricane was brewing out there, something touched my heart to say, hey, we need to be talking to the church about how to navigate through some of the storms of life. And with that growth and blessings that we're doing, we know that old Satan is prowling around just looking to find a way to bring some negativity and some pain and some suffering into our body. But yet, because God never fails us, we can get through some of these trials that we're certainly going to be facing. In these times of uncertainty in our world, you know, sometimes you feel like it's just overwhelming, that we can't get through it. So I hope today's lesson gives us some confidence. And there are four things that I want to talk to you about today. And as I normally do when I preach to you, I'd like to give you some takeaways. And so if you'll work with me on these four, I pray that you will find strength and how to beat some of the challenges that are being put on you today. Now, in your bulletin, there's a nice, convenient page on the last part of the sermon notes that is titled Notes. It's by design that I wanted to go through the four things that I'm suggesting that we can do together. But as we get through each one of these, there are some practical applications and examples that I want to give you that I want you to take the time to write your own note rather than me make a fill in the blank, because I want you to hear, and then if you see fit, to take those notes on some of the ways that we can help each other and help ourselves. I think that someday you will be able to go back into your Bible, take out the sermon notes from the day. When things get tough, you will be able to reflect on today's lesson. So that's kind of how I've set it up. And I want to go into the first one now on the four ways that we can use to successfully navigate. The first one is trust in God's sovereignty. Never forget that God is in control. Psalms 102:27 assures us, but you remain the same and your years will never end. We must trust in God's wisdom, goodness, and faithfulness, knowing that He's in control regardless of what trials, turmoil, illness comes our way. An old elder in my younger days had a wonderful way of reminding me when I'd get out there doing stupid things, God's got this, and you better watch out, because you are in His kingdom, and God's got you, and he's got this situation. So I want us all to take away this morning the fact that God is sovereign, he's in control, and brothers and sisters, he's got me and he's got you. Amen. In one of the schoolrooms over in the Dominican Republic where I've been and worked, there's a Jeremiah 29:11 verse that I put in here for you. It talks about, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Even in the midst of trials, God's purpose never, never fails." God knows the plans he has for every one of you sitting here. Don't lose sight of that when sometimes it's not joy-filled, when sometimes things are not going your way. Just know that God's got a plan for you and me. There are two examples that I want you to flip over in your notes portion of that bulletin that are real-time situations here for us today. This is some of the struggles that are happening right here in our church, right in our congregation, where people lose their jobs or they have financial uncertainties. Amen? That things come our way, and what I want you to do is to take this one and put it under the column that says how to endure and persist in steadfastness. Folks, it's no secret that if you are in prayer, it helps. God will help you if you ask him to help you. When last couple of weeks we had a young lady here who went through yet another series of losing a loved one. And she knows I'm going to call her name Patty Bass. She lost her second son after losing two husbands. And the first thing that that lady did was to call on the elders to pray for her. And that Wednesday night, she showed up here in this auditorium to go to Bible class. You know why? Because she was persisting in steadfastness. She reached out to her family. So I ask as an example that you use your friends and your congregation relationships to reach back when things get tough and persist in steadfastness. That's what church relationships are about. That's what God's people do. I ask that you do the same thing, okay? The health crises that some of us go through is another opportunity where we can be together and use these opportunities to ask for help. Please don't forget to ask for help. Elders work really hard trying to be in prayer and reflection and encouragement to our flock. We don't know if you don't feel comfortable sharing with us that you're in a crisis. Please don't hold back. Family of God, you are members. We are chartered to lead you, our flock. And we can't see you every minute of every day, but we certainly have open ears and prayerful hearts that we can lift you up to do that. So, bottom line, we got to trust in God's sovereignty. By trusting that, it involves an active effort on your part and leadership's part in prayer and surrendering to God and relying on his wisdom and his plans for us. So let's get on with it. When we have that struggle, reach out, please. Number two, we got to secure our anchor in faith and hope. We got to hold firm, more firmer than ever in today's world, to the faith that we profess. Hebrews 11 defines faith as the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Let your faith be your anchor. It can sustain you through the darkest of all times. The faith that you have can be supplemented by getting into the book, reading the scriptures from God's word that will enable you to continue a steadfastness and a hope and exemplifying the faith that you have and I have in the Lord. In Romans 12:12, he encourages us yet again to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. By being in the Word and by praying, we are nurturing this hope-filled perspective that we have. All the hope of eternity and God's promise that guides us through all those difficult moments will be manifest if we hold on to that anchor. The anchor is faith in God. We've all lost loved ones here. Over in your notes section on the loved ones, number two, if we never take our eyes off the faithfulness of each other and the teaching that God has put forth in this place, we can make it through any trial. Have the faith, hold on to the anchor of God, and be in His Word. We seek support from our church when we're going through these trials. By doing that, we focused on memories of those that we've lost. And yes, sometimes the memories are not very good. But I'm here to tell you that if you're focusing on the memory of the loved one you're lost, that outlook helps you hold on to the anchor. If we channel our grief into acts of kindness, it also helps us hold on to the faith. One of my best friends in Fairfax, Virginia in 2005 had a double knee replacement, sailed through the joys of being ready to go home. He had walked up the staircase there, the four steps that they make you go through when you're doing knee or hip surgery to make sure you got the strength. And he was coming down the stairs, and he got dizzy, and he sat down, and his wife was packing the bag, and 25 minutes later, he was dead. He had a blood clot, and it took him out. Well, she was miserable. We were all in grief for weeks. And his wife, Gail, came up to us, and she said, "Cindy and Shaq, I want you to drive me over to Arlington Memorial Cemetery in Washington, D.C. You know why? Because she had made up her mind that she was going to go over there and become a volunteer in the Arlington Ladies Group, where they go to people who've lost loved ones and they present the flag and they utter the words of encouragement to the suffering member of the family. That act of kindness got Lady Gail through the agony of losing Bill. And she never hesitates to encourage people that are going through that to get involved in an act of service. So the next time grief strikes you, let's try and put our anchor in the fact that we can get into an act of service. Amen? All right, number three. Let's find strength in unity and community of this congregation. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 tells us two are better than one because they have a good team for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. We are a connected community of Christians here. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, but because of His grace and His mercy, we have the hope and we have the strength of being unified in Christ. Let's not forget that. Let's connect with one another better than we ever have this year. John Wharton mentioned on the wall, Richard Hammonds yesterday posted all of the signups for life groups. A terrific way to stay connected in community is through the involvement of a small group. Getting to know one another is a way that we can minister to each other. It's a proven fact here in this family of Christ at North Tampa. Relationships hold us together to be stronger servants of God. And life groups are just an example of how you can do that. On your notes page, I think one of the suggestions could be reach out to your church family when you're hurting, because the church family members want to be a part of sharing your grief through encouragement. We have a fantastic way here of connecting through our meals ministry. Cheryl Riley leads the program and is phenomenal about staying in touch with those who are going through hurt. One of the joys that you can come into unity here is if you volunteer one time to take a meal to a hurting brother or sister. Taking that meal is an act of service, but the communication with the hurting family member is a strength finder for not only the hurting, but for us, the givers. It works, and that's a way that God is bringing us to minister to each other. Another one is the ministry of heart to heart, where Renee McLaughlin and the ladies and men that volunteer with her send encouragement cards to those who are hurting. This sense of community through communication is something that we have very, very strong here in this church. Let's not let that fail, okay? Let's continue to be about one another. Again, when you're going through financial crises, that many of our members are, let's remember that there are talents here that can give you advice and guidance. Something as simple as a benevolence program here, where being budget guided is a key asset. It's not that we can give you money to pay off everything, but we can offer assistance in budget management that helps you get through the crises. There are ways and means that this congregation has to stay unified and serving God. Let's do that, because the sense of unity that we bring together is something that will always help us be a godly servant through giving, encouraging, praying together, and helping individuals endure their challenges. And finally, number four, church, we got to keep the focus. James 1st chapter verse 12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." There's that message again. Persist. Be steadfast, stand with God. Make the commitment to strive to example what Jesus did for us. We gotta trust and we gotta stay focused when Satan's knocking on our tailgate back here, trying to get us to come up with something that will divert and distract our focus. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above. It might be as something as simple as focusing our thought on the heaven trail that we're walking on rather than the negative trail that we're living in. If we can focus on that, I think we can do better. We can never pray enough for each other. And as James says, ask. You got to be willing to park your pride at the door and ask God to help. And He will not fail. With this, I believe that those four things, and this last one about keeping our focus during challenging times, brings all of us together even closer. And by doing that, we can be a better servant and child of the Lord. Church, we're called to serve. We serve during the stormy times. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit had stormy times. They succeeded. His example for us encourages us to stay on the course of serving God. Our anchor is a bedrock of faith and hope, and we got to stay anchored to that. That hope carries us through any storm and fulfilling of God's plans. As a church community, we got to stay unified. And we're doing that pretty well. We are ready and willing to listen, to pray, and to help, because that's God's model. I want to extend an invitation to you now. If you find yourself in the midst of a crisis, a life challenge, I invite you to let it be known. We elders are ready to be with you and pray with you and help you in any way we can. For those of you who may be interested in becoming a member of this church, I ask you today to take one of those cards and flip it over there and check that box that says, I'm ready and willing to go to work here. I want to be a member. Emma Vaughn this morning checked that box and says, I want to go be the worker. And next week you'll meet Emma, for those of you who don't, because she's ready to get involved, to go all in. So that opportunity, if you are this close or this close, you ought to be checking that box. We want to be a servant with you here. I also want you to know that any of you who are feeling the call to be baptized, immersed in the water, and come again and be buried, the example that Christ was buried and He arose, and we have the hope of eternal life because of that, we are ready to help you come to Jesus and to do that if that is the need that you have. Let's be community. Let's be the faithful servants by coming together more than any other time, and Satan will be defeated. Amen? Thank you, church, for listening. And at this time, let's all stand and sing.